We'll be in Psalm 119. I'm talking about going backwards, and I needed to go backwards. The last eight verses in this book. This is the summary of it all. You know, I was giving praise earlier, and I was talking this morning with the youth in Sunday school and brought up that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, right? From the Father of lights. And it's a reminder that everything good in our life comes from God. Everything. And, you know, we really should spend a whole lot more time giving praise than we do. And I have noticed that of late that there's more praise than there is prayer requests. And that's not because we lack troubles or things we want prayed about, but I think it's the heart is getting in tune with giving thanks to God. But really and truly, we ought to have this thanks down. And then we don't, because this old flesh messes with this. I say all that to say, you know, David, as we look into this psalm, it was mentioned of David in Acts 13:22, and this, he said, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, talking about removing Saul, right? To whom also he gave testimony, said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill my will. And thinking again that David being a man after God's own heart, if that's a testimony that was given of David, that we could learn a lot from David's heart. And if we get a hold of what David's heart is, then maybe we would see some of what God's heart is. And as we go through this psalm in 119, again, we went through the first two sections and we'll go through the last. But if you go back and read all that, you're going to get David's heart. You're going to see the good times, you're going to see the bad times, and you're going to see a whole lot about God's laws and commandments and statutes and precepts and whatever the name you want to give to it. You'll see all that in there. So David's heart was to God. David's heart was after God's commandments. You know, for the born-again child of God, God writes his laws upon our hearts. He writes his commandments upon our hearts. And it ought to be something that we desire and love. And to give praise. Boy, David gave lots of praise. I mean, these were songs that he wrote to praise God. Even in the bad times, there were songs written to praise God. Even when David was down in the lowest pits, David wrote songs to praise God. And how many of us tonight can say that we do that? When we're down and out, that we're singing songs to God. Again, if we get a hold of David's heart, we just might get a hold of what God's heart is. That's not to say that David was perfect. He wasn't without his faults. And we'll look at that as we get into this psalm. Let us pray one more time and see what the Lord has for us as we look at David's Seek Me. Father, we're grateful tonight again for the opportunity to meet together. Thank you for your word. Father, thank you for Lord, the examples that have been before us that we can look to, Lord. Father, that we can learn from. Father, that we can discern your heart. And Father, how we can see how we need to live. How we can honor and glorify you. And Father, we confess tonight that we are of the flesh. And Father, while we're in this old flesh, it tempts and tries and Lord, desires things that you don't desire. But oh, thank you for the Holy Spirit within. Thank you for a new heart, Lord. And may we be in tune with you, and we give you glory. Amen. In this last section, David's going to sum up all the previous verses that they're going through again. Just there's 176 verses. So read them, memorize them. No, yeah, go ahead and memorize them. That'd be good. You might not have to do it with the numbers. It wasn't written with the numbers. I don't know that you need to memorize it with the numbers. Amen. Well, there's a lot of good stuff in there. A lot of good stuff. And one of my favorite things in there is, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And that's such a good verse for Christianity. We do that in our pledge to the Bible. That's one of the phrases we say to it. And learned that in Vacation Bible School. I didn't go to vacation Bible school. I didn't know anything about vacation Bible school. Instead, I started helping in vacation Bible school and learned the pledge. And but my kids were raised in it, and they learned the pledge. And what a wonderful thing to learn, that I'll hide your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, if I was going to be in good graces with my parents, it was important to know what they expected out of me. If they had rules and I didn't know about them, then, you know, I wouldn't know how to walk. Right? I'd just live in fear of always, am I going to mess up this time? But when they make known what their regulations for my life is, or their expectations for my, that's a better word, what the expectations for my life is, it's a lot easier to walk in line. And you know that they didn't tell me every rule that they had for me. But when I knew what their expectations were for my life, then it was easy to fall in line with where they wanted me to go and how they wanted me to live. You know, we don't have to memorize every law that God says. Some of them aren't even applicable anymore. But we understand God's heart and we understand His expectations, then we can walk in a way that brings Him glory. And that's what David shows us. And that's what he tells us. In this last section, again, David sums up all the previous verses. And this is his final decree, a final plea in this psalm. Again, in nearly every verse, David mentions some reference to God's commandments, laws, precepts, statutes, words, etc. It's always in there. It always comes back to the Word. No matter what David faced, it comes back to the Word. No matter what was good, it comes back to the Word. It was bad, it comes back to the Word. No matter what it was, it always came back to the Word. And man, if we got that in our lives, if we got that straight, no matter what we're going through, if we come back to the Word, things would work out a whole lot better. I didn't say everything would be perfect, and I didn't say everything would fall in line and how we want it, but if we take it back to the Word, it's going to fall in line how God wants it, if we make that our standard. So David begins with his request, as David's request in 169 and 170. 169, he says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word." And he says, "Let my cry," and understand, he's not necessarily in tears, though he may be. But that word was also translated in other places in the psalm, especially as rejoicing and triumph. And so as he's crying it out, it's got the overtone of being a rejoicing and a triumphant cry. Now, he may have had sincerity in his heart, or he did have sincerity in heart, but it may have been some remorse in his heart or some issues dealing with. But in knowing that he could cry out to God and that he could talk to God, and no matter what his request is or no matter what he was facing, that he could go to God and rejoice in it and have triumph in it because he knew God's law. Amen. He knew God's statutes. He knew God's judgments. And so he could go with confidence to God as he cried out. He says, "Let me cry. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord." You're in the King James, it's all capitalized, and a few other translations do too. And it's the word Jehovah, Yahweh. Let my cry come near before thee, Jehovah. Give me understanding according to thy word. Oh, would to God that we would seek understanding every day according to God's word. There's so many things we try to understand and we try to work through things in our own mind, but if we again would bring it back to the Word and ask God for understanding according to His Word, oh, how much better we would be. That's David's request, his plea, his cry, as he comes in confidence and triumph, knowing that if he asks and he will get the answer. It may not be immediate, but he knows he can count on it. So David's plea for the Lord to hear him in a triumphant boast. And notice that it's not a question if God will hear him. He said, "Let my cry come near before thee." He knew that his cry would come before God. He had confidence because of God's word and the things he knew about God that God would hear him. So it's not a question, but yet it was a humble desire. It was a humble desire as he come before God. And when I say he come before in triumph, that did not mean that he come before in pride. And though he can rejoice and boast and know that God will hear and answer, he came with humility. "And let my cry be near, come near before thee." You know, if I ever had a question for my dad, I knew that I could go and confidently talk to my dad. We had that kind of relationship. I could talk to my dad about anything. I didn't talk to him about everything, but I could talk to him about anything. And I had confidence that I could go to him. And I had confidence that there would be an answer. It may not be an answer that I like. It may not be an answer that I wanted. But it had been an answer that I needed. Because my dad looked out for my best interests. That's the kind of dad I had. And I understand not everybody has that. And that's one great thing about my dad is it's easy for me to relate to God as a father because I had a good dad. And I know others that didn't have that. And you struggle with relating to God as a father. But I had that relationship with mine. And I could confidently ask him. And just as I can go to my dad, my earthly dad, who would take care of my needs and meet my needs and give me the answer I need, I can have that same confidence. And you, Christian, can have that same confidence. Whether your earthly dad was a good dad or not, you can have the confidence that you can go to God and that he'll hear your cry. Amen. And that he'll answer according to his word. Notice his word, not your word. And any time I asked my dad something, he answered according to his word, not my word. He answered according to my request, but according to his word. And he was faithful to do that. My dad didn't ever give me an answer to anything that was going to harm me. Even when I wanted to do something stupid, he knew. Even when I did stuff stupid and didn't ask him, he still knew. God knows that too. I don't know how my dad knew. He had people watching. I remember the time we burned out the tires on an Impala, me and a buddy of mine. Of course, my dad didn't find out until many years later, although my buddy's dad saw and knew. There was other things we did that he knew about, though. But God, he knows everything. Our heart's desire. He knows everything about us, what we're going through. And we can have confidence and cry out to him. He said, 170, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. And the supplication is just a humble, earnest request. And again, he knows in confidence that he can go to God and ask, and he comes humbly and makes his request. David faced many earthly opponents, many of the enemies of God, and he was crying out for deliverance according to God's word. Interesting enough, Mark chapter 12, verse 36, there's a quote that David wrote in Psalm 110:1. But in Mark 12, 36, says this way, for David himself said, by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool. And he understood that there's coming a day where the enemies are going to be cast away. He understood that Jesus was going, there was coming a day where the Lord seating on the right hand, talked about this morning, it was going to reign in power and authority. And so David could look forward to that, but he also cried out for the deliverance from his immediate enemies. And I have no doubt in my mind that David desired deliverance from fleshly temptations as well. If you know the story of David's life, you know as many temptations he had, as do we all. Didn't always make the right choice. But what David always did was repent. When he was faced with God's word, he always repented. I believe that's part of why God said there's a man after my own heart. And not only did he say of David, a man after my own heart, but I'm going to work my will through David. And even though David made mistakes and there was troubles and times of error, David knew to confess and repent and to get back right with God. He was not in fear of ever being cast out, though he was in fear of not walking in fellowship with his God. That moves us to David's praise in verses 171 and 172. He said, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. And David is always uttering praise and giving God the glory for his word and the things of his word and all the things that he's done for David in his life. Brings me back to the beginning where I said we ought to be a lot more giving thanks than what we do. We should continually utter the praise of the Lord. Shame on us when anything but praise comes out of our mouth. Well, so how will we ever conversate with someone if all I'm doing is praising God? Well, maybe that conversation would be a whole lot sweeter. You know, that's something I've had to learn when driving, and I've confessed this before, but man, I tell you what, sometimes with driving, there's not much praising going on. More like if I mention God's name, it's to destroy the vehicle in front of me. No, it's not that bad anymore. And I just say God has given me some victory over that. I've taken some of the victory and I've left some of it. But God's faithful. And we cry out and we give him praise in our life. And you know, things just don't seem as bad as they really are when we give God praise. When we're giving him the glory. Why? Because our eyes become focused on him instead of the problem. You know, the disciples were scared when Jesus was down in the boat sleeping. And the storm came up. And the waves were coming in. And they cried out, Master, carest not that we perish? Foolish disciples. Questioning whether Jesus cared if they perished or not. They weren't foolish, they were scared. But when Jesus came up and their eyes were fixed on him, things began to calm. And as he spoke the words, peace be still. Peace not only came to the storm, but came to the hearts of the disciples. And so too God does with us. When we seek his presence, when we desire his presence with us. You know, it amazes me that so many times as Christians that we don't desire God's presence. That's why we don't speak his name. We want to keep being wrapped up in the little things that we like to do of ourselves. And if we start mentioning God's name, we're going to be looking at him and not get to do the little things our flesh wants to do. Conviction sets in. Have that old bony finger of Nathan the prophet saying, Thou art the man. In reference to his sin with Bathsheba. But when we keep God's name upon our lips and sing his praise and glory, it helps us that we might walk in a way that brings him honor. David's humbleness, verse 173, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. David had made up his mind that he was going to live his life in a way that honors and glorifies God. He made up his mind that he was going to follow God's ways. And Christians, as children of God, that should be what we make up in our mind too, that we're going to walk in a way that honors God and not just say, all right, God save me, I'm good to go, I'm going to go do whatever I want. Choose his precepts, choose his ways. But notice David said, let thine hand help me. And this is what David understood and what we need to understand, is that in and of ourselves, it is almost impossible, or it really is impossible, to live a way that honors God. And God knew that, and that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit to live within us, to help us, to lead us and to guide us into everything so that we can know. And David recognized that. Let thine hand help me. And we would do good every day to get up and say, God, let your hand help me today. I choose to walk in your way. God, in and of myself, I'm weak. My flesh wants to do its own thing. God, help me today. Give me your strength. Walk with me. Carry me if you have to. God, I can't do it. And too many times we try to do things in our own strength and walk in our own power. And then we wonder why we fail. We wonder why life's hard. It's because we haven't chosen God's precepts. Because we haven't followed his ways. David, again, understood in and of himself, in his own strength, he could not live out those precepts. He recognized how he falls short before God. He recognized he needs help. And I can't help but think the old song the songwriter wrote, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Isn't that so true? And I'm thinking of my little toddler, Luna. That poor baby. She trips over rocks that aren't even there. Amen. And I can laugh, but I do too. But you know, we'll walk through a parking lot, grab that hand. For multiple reasons. I don't want her to fall. I don't want her to run into another vehicle, come backing up. I want her to stay by me. Man, if we would get a hold of that and grab a hold of God's hand. God, let me walk with you. God desires that. God's going to put his hand down. He desires fellowship with us. And to have a dad that wouldn't do that for his child, shame on you. And God doesn't do that. He'll reach down his hand and we can walk as we hold the hand of God. And David reveals his desire in verse 174. I have longed for thy salvation. O Lord, and thy law is my delight. David's innermost desire was the salvation of the Lord. And now we understand that he was looking forward to the coming of the Christ. That Jesus hadn't died yet. But that was his desire. He longed for God. So he longed to be saved from this wicked world. He longed to be saved from his enemy. He longed to be saved from the enemy. And he longed to be present with his God and his Lord. Oh, I long for thy salvation. How about it, Christian? Have you longed for your salvation? He says, well, I've already gotten saved. Yeah, have you forgot about it since then? Have you longed for it? Is that your innermost desire? That relationship you entered into, that I entered into with God? Or is there something else that's taking the place? David longed for that relationship that comes with salvation. He longed for that presence of God. He longed for those things. And that doesn't mean that we're necessarily absent in his life. It's just that was what was inside. That was his passion. He looked forward for the finished work of the Savior. In verse 175, he said, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Help me. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And interesting, he said, let my soul live, and he didn't say, let my life live. And again, rejoicing in salvation. Let my soul live. When my soul's in heaven with God, when it's living with God, it will praise him. And David was looking forward to that. Let my soul live and it'll praise you. I know your judgments. David understood. He was looking forward to being with God and praising God for eternity. Is that our desire? Is that your desire? Is that my desire? Oh, would to God that our heart would be like David's, that it might be like God's. And David enters into his final confession and plea. And this is amazing. After all these things he said, after he talked about loving God's word, all through 175 verses that are listed, how much he loves God's word, how much he loves God's presence, how much he needs God's help, how much he needs God's deliverance. His focus this whole time has been on God, I need you, God, I need you, God, I need you. David says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. And all that. David confesses that he, like a sheep, has a tendency to stray. I've gone astray. And folks, we got to recognize that in our own life, in the flesh, that if we don't keep our focus on God and his word and on Jesus, that flesh is going to tempt us to stray. As long as we're here in this old world, it's going to be a problem. And I long for a day that's no more problem. Long for the day where I don't have to say, oh God, I messed up again, forgive me. Or I can just rejoice and no longer be in temptation. And David said, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. And a sheep is prone to wander from the fold. You know, a sheep has to have a shepherd for guidance and protection. Sheep aren't too smart. I watched Chloe when she showed sheep, and sometimes there would be a sheep get loose from one of the handlers. And in Scripture, this would be like a hireling. It wasn't a shepherd. And it'd get loose, and that little thing would take off running. And somebody tried to go catch it, and they'd run away. There's people trying to bring it back to safety. And that thing was too stupid to listen and go back. And David was likening himself to a sheep, and many times in Scripture, we as Christians are likening the sheep. We wander off into the ways of the world, the ways of the flesh. And we can hear the call of the shepherd. And that's the great thing. This is that seek thy servant, or that seek me. For that lost sheep, that sheep that knows God, that sheep that has a shepherd. You see, when David said, I'm like a lost sheep there, he was referring to his position. His position in regards to the shepherd. He wasn't talking about his soul. He said, I'm a lost sheep. My position with the shepherd is I'm lost. I'm away from protection. I'm away from the safety. I'm over here where I can get into trouble. You know, sometimes we get away from God and we may not be in trouble yet, but know that trouble's lurking. What's always on the prowl for sheep? Predators. What did David ask to rescue sheep from? from the lion, from the bear. Yeah. David very well knew sheep after being tending to sheep for so long. He knew their tendencies, and he knew what had to happen. He knew that he had to go find the lost sheep, that their position was not near him. And we hear the scripture that Jesus seeks, leave the 99 and seeks out the one that's lost. And we can have confidence that if we get out to where we're not supposed to be and we're a child of God, that he is going to come and seek us out and search for us. He doesn't leave us in that position. And we know his voice. If you're a child of God, you know the shepherd's voice. You'll hear him. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Let us hear the Father's calling. But you know, sometimes like that old dumb sheep, as we're out where we shouldn't be, instead of getting back closer, when we hear, we want to get even further. And sooner or later, it might fall off the cliff. Or sooner or later, you may end up in the jaws of a lion. And there is a lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And if we don't keep our relationship with the shepherd close, we're in danger. We're in danger. But David, again, wasn't worried about his soul. But he knew that at times he was prone to wonder, and he asked God, seek thy servant. It wasn't even a question, really. He was making a proclamation, seek thy servant. Seek me, Lord. Seek me out. David understood that when he wondered, the shepherd went looking for him. He recognized the voice of the shepherd, as so do all who know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. You remember when, again, I refer back to David's sin with Bathsheba. And then he committed that atrocity by having Uriah murdered. And not only Uriah, but every soldier with him. And David seemed to think he was all right for a little while. Boy, he was way away from the shepherd. And God sent the hireling in. He sent in Nathan. It was that reference to that bony finger pointing back. Nathan gave that old story that infuriated David. And in the end, Nathan said, thou art the man. As God sought out David, David recognized in the end that he was at fault. He repented. And he was back in relationship with God. And I understand, folks, you can be in good relationship with God after repenting, but there are consequences to our actions. And just because you repent don't mean you won't face the consequence. A baby lost its life. Turmoil come to the house of David because he made some mistakes. But he was back in fellowship with his God. Are you willing to suffer the consequences for a little time away from the fold? I hope, Christian, if you wander off, you're listening for the call of the Father and come back quickly before trouble gets you. Amen. Maybe tonight you don't know the voice of the shepherd. Maybe tonight you've never heard the voice of the shepherd. Stand with me tonight, please. Ask your musicians to come forward. It's kind of hard to hear the shepherd when you don't know him. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, you'll never hear the voice of the shepherd. But he's given you a hireling now that's given you a warning. And that warning is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's an eternity in hell waiting for you. And that's not God's desire. His desire is that all would come to repentance, that all would be saved is his desire. And he's waiting on you to make that decision. Will you ask God to forgive you? Will you confess that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and ask him to save you? He will. He does. And you'll be one of his sheep. And then you'll hear his voice. And you can walk next to the shepherd. And you can be confident if you find yourself away that he'll come looking for you. Amen. Thank you tonight, Father, for a time in your word. Thank you for your heart towards us. Forgive us where we fall short. Amen.